Jey Uso came out, and he came out to promote his match versus Logan Paul at Saturday night's main event. And then out of what seemed like nowhere, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, because I had a feeling that Jey Uso was going to get involved in the Gunther versus Pat McAfee match at Backlash. That didn't happen. But we saw Gunther show up and interrupt Jey Uso again on this Monday Night Raw. I kind of had a feeling that Jey and Gunther were not going to be over, and it looks like they're not, at least right now, because Gunther announced that he's going to get a match out of the winner of Logan Paul versus Jey Uso. Do I think Logan Paul is going to be that guy? No, I do not. So I think it's safe to say that we're going to be getting a rematch between Gunther and Jey Uso, which means Jey Uso has about 1 month in his championship reign, y'all. I'm calling it right now.
Fuck you.
We are going to get Gunther as the World Heavyweight Champion once again. He called it 1 month from now. And I was going to ask what event was that, but you guys already said it. It's going to be at Money in the Bank. So count your days. All right. Enjoy this 1 month that you guys have left as Jey Uso as your champion. But besides that, Jey Uso did his thing. He came out. The Yeet movement is still over. It's still fucking stronger than ever. Even after Jey Uso winning the title a few weeks, I thought by now people would be like, oh, Jey Uso as a champion is so boring. But nope, people still love Jey Uso. I can't wait to see Gunther be champion again, y'all. I just can't wait. But let's go with you, Tommy. What'd you think?
Gunther does not need another fucking title reign. He really doesn't. As was already stated by almost everyone in WWE at this point, more than 80% of his entire WWE career, including NXT UK, has been as champion. Give this man a fucking break.
Should have been 100%, but yeah.
He does not need another title reign. He truly doesn't. He is no Ric Flair. He is absolutely no Ric Flair whatsoever. Stop giving this man title reigns.
Better than Ric Flair.
Give a break. No, the hell he's not.
Okay.
No, the hell he's not. But BT, you already said this, and I am going to reiterate it. The fucking rematch clause. Mm-hmm. Either eliminate it completely and keep it gone, or just add it back in.
So really quick,
and I'm pretty sure everyone's suggestion here is do the same thing that you should do with your women's tag titles at this point and just completely eliminate it all together.
So really quick, for the people that are new here that have no idea what we mean about the rematch clause, why are we complaining about the rematch clause, fellas? Who wants to give a quick rundown as to what's happening? Go ahead, Blood.
I will, because I was the first one on the channel to scream.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
No. Y'all can't take this from me. Y'all remember I ranted on this shit a month ago.
All right, let him have it.
Look, the rematch clause is a thing that when the champion loses, they are automatically guaranteed an immediate rematch clause at a time and place of their choosing before anybody else gets a contendership shot. That is how it was for years and years and years, until several years ago, roughly during the pandemic, I believe, or right after it, Vince McMahon and Stephanie and all of them came out, or I think it was Shane, and they went on and cut a promo about how things were going to change. For the third time, they cut that promo, and things did not change. And they stated, from now on, there will be no more rematch clauses. The rematch clause is dead. No more. If you lose, there's a back line. We will not be reinstating it. And that was what it was. So since then, that rule that they cut a promo on live TV for, and for a while stuck to it, because when, for example, when Big E lost his title, no rematch clause. When Kofi lost the title, no rematch clause. When Braun, when Drew, when all of them lost, when Brock lost it to Roman, no rematch clause. They kept it for a long time. And then randomly in the last 2 years, it has been hot potato between it is in effect and it is not in effect based on what story they want to quickly move on to next. So we on this channel have been groaning at nauseam for several months now at the fact that, oh, remember when Becky lost her title? She didn't get a rematch clause as soon as she came back. Jey Uso, remember when Jey lost the Intercontinental Championship to Braun Breaker? He didn't get a rematch clause, but Braun Breaker did.
Rhea Ripley. So,
Rhea Ripley, the list goes motherfucking on. And Roman never got his rematch. Cody, he's been gone for 3 weeks. Hasn't come in and called his chin yet, but so far the whole division's moved on without him. It's the same thing over and over and over again. When Shinsuke took it off LA, LA didn't get an immediate rematch clause. You know, so it's like, it's whenever the story chooses to utilize it, they go, hey, Gunther, we've got no other story for you to go to. We have nothing else for you to do that's even remotely within the wheelhouse of your caliber that we have built you to. And because we had you champion for so long, we now no longer know how to book you in a way that does not make you a dominating monster. Because we can't just have you start eating pins because we made you champion too fucking long, too credible, right? So, we're going to throw you back in there with Jey. And that's my thing is, like, how do you get to call it in, but Cody couldn't, right? But Becky and Lyra automatically broke up. They could have called in that rematch clause and they didn't, right? But somehow Liv and Raquel got to, right? Somehow Dom won the title, right? But, who did he beat? Where's that rematch? How come the Viking Raiders and the New Day can trade rematch clause until they want to throw in the Creed Brothers? So it's a matter of make it make sense. Stop making it inconsistent. It's getting fucking old. So I'm really hoping that this rematch clause that Gunther's getting, I said it before, and so I don't need to even go on this turn. This is my turn. I'm genuinely worried that Gunther and Jey is going to end with Jey retaining, and all of a sudden, someone, whomever wins that Money in the Bank briefcase, is going to cash in and take it. And I have a really bad feeling that they are going to end Jey's reign at Money in the Bank, even though I feel like there's so much more mileage you can get out of that him telling stories, because we've gone over this before, all the people he could verse, him versus Sammy, him versus Roman, him versus... You know, this person and that. Like, there's so many stories you can tell with Jey. There really is. Gunther tonight stating that Jey wasn't built to be a champion. That's funny, Gunther, because even though you've been a champion 80% of your time in WWE, he's the longest reigning tag team champion in history next to his brother. They also are world record holding title winners. So he was definitely built to be champion. He was champion before you ever had the name of Walter. So as far as it's concerned, that is my fear, that they are running this back and they're going to yank that title off of Jey after a near 2 month reign. And they're going to throw him to the wayside in favor of this story going forward. And I don't think Gunther's winning it, but I don't think Jay's leaving Money in the Bank with it either. And that's what scares me.
Yeah, so that was the thing that Tommy was referring to when we were talking about the rematch clauses. But anything else you want to add, Tommy, before we move on to...
To quickly finish off my thoughts on this, there's something that has been rumored that both sides want. You want something to do with Gunther? Goldberg wants his fucking match. Goldberg wants his final match and he wants it to be against Gunther. Just give it to him. That's it. That's all you have to do. Goldberg wants his final match. Gunther wants to face Goldberg. Let it happen.
I just don't want Goldberg to injure Gunther. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, you're by yourself.
He almost broke the Undertaker's neck in Saudi. I don't need him dropping Gunther on his head either.
Yeah, I don't think we need another Goldberg match in 2025. I'm sorry, but no.
I want one.
Go ahead, BT.
I want that final match, that one last match for Goldberg. That's it, just one.
You know what I want? I want to stop going on TikTok every fucking day and seeing all these Jey Uso haters start fucking talking about how Jey Uso's just a yeet merchant. His title reign is boring as hell, even though it's been like not even a month since he's held on to that title. What's the story that is being used with him? At this fucking point, just give the title back to Gunther. Give it back to him. Because I am sick and fucking tired of this hate train that I have to suffer with. And it's not just me. Toxic, one of the biggest Jey Uso fans here as well, has to suffer with it every single fucking week. You know? Like, it is ridiculous. It's starting to get to me.
The thing is, don't let it get to you, BT. You got to remember, it is a small, small minority of the IWC, for those of you listening who are new, internet wrestling community, which is toxic like the Star Wars fandom. It is a small minority of people hating on Jey. You have a few thousand people online touting this hate. They're live in attendance week after week with hundreds of thousands of people who love this guy. And that is who WWE is listening to. And that's what matters. He is not just a yeet merchant. His title run has not been boring. It's been 3 weeks, but also in that 3 weeks, his title run has been involved with the main story involved on Raw, with the new reinvigorated Seth and Paul and Braun. It's not boring. So I would say to you, Intoxic, do not let it eat at you. It is a tiny-ass minority of the world wrestling fandom, and this is the amount of them that hate Jey.
That also reminds me of what Triple H was saying when it comes to Cody. You know, there's a lot of people that are saying that Cody's boring, this, that, and the other. Triple H is like, well, I still see him selling the shit ton of merch, you know, kids crying, dying to see him, and he's still selling out, you know, all these arenas. He's doing all these things. So
the people that are saying, if all they did was listen to the hate, they'd never be successful. They're listening to people live in attendance who are going ape shit for these guys week in and week out. And that is the demographic to listen to.
Yeah. And as much as I like to joke around about, you know, Jey Uso losing his title, I can admit when that guy, he's super over. Like, every arena he steps in, the fucking people lose it for him. But anyway, go on, BT.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about the segment itself. It's just a classic Gunther promo. But Jey stood his ground, and I like that. And to the people that say he can't cut a serious promo, he fucking did tonight. He did against fucking Paul Heyman. He's done it a few times. You're just too blind to see it. But the build-up for Gunther getting back to the world title is stupendous to me. After losing the world title, he beats up a commentator, two commentators on the Raw after Mania, right? But Pat McAfee defends him, and he chokes out Pat McAfee, right? With the security guards paying too much attention to Pat McAfee's friends, Gunther and Pat have a match, a backlash. I don't want to spoil anything, but Gunther beats Pat. Gunther shows respect at the end. Is anybody forgetting that? He shows respect to Pat at the end. And people were anticipating a face turn. Yeah. Not after the bullshit we saw tonight. Fuck that. Nah, we're just going to put him straight back into a title scene that we don't fucking need. But, hey, beat up a commentator. That is the number one way to get to a world title nowadays. You're going to... You're going to beat up a commentator, a biased commentator, to get your world title shot, ladies and gentlemen. Fuck all the hard work that LA Knight's been doing, because we didn't even want to give him a second chance with his second US title run. Give it to him for a month, and Jacob Fatu just comes by and takes it off of him for WrestleMania. When all he had to do, when all LA Knight had to do was beat up a commentator, all he had to do was turn on Wade Barrett. That's all he had to do. And he'd probably be getting the fucking undisputed title shot by now. Fucking brilliant. That's the fucking world we're living in. Jesus Christ. Fuck Gunther. That is my last word to this. Fuck Gunther.
I agree with that last part.
The one that anybody would turn on anyways.
Fair point. I agree with that last part, what BT said. Those two words. Agree. Anyways, I'm still mad about this bullshit. If Roman Reigns can go however, if he can go without holding gold in the business or the company, whatever the hell you want to call it, Gunther can too. It will not hurt him. If anything, it will make him better because he can prove that he can shine even without gold. Because, hell, he's only been, every time he lost the championship, the Intercontinental Championship, just to make his way back because he's the most powerful one in the King of the Ring tournament and because he can't even execute a proper pin on Randy Orton. Also, after he lost the World Heavyweight Championship to Jey Uso because he tapped out. Because Lord knows, the only person who can't properly put Gunther to sleep is Pat McAfee. Sorry, Pat, but it's the truth. You are the only one that I know that have put Gunther in a sleeper hold that has not able to tap him out. Jey and Ilya are the only ones that I know. But anyways, I don't even know where I was going. Fuck. It will not hurt Gunther. Like BT said, he beat up a commentator. Oh, he knows what he's doing. You know what? He proved to all of us that he is strong because he beat up a commentator. An NFL punter, whatever you want to call him. A punter. You know what? I think we should give him a shot at his title again. Yeah, that's what we're doing now.
All right, the final thing that I think is worth mentioning for this Monday Night Raw was AJ Styles versus Finn Balor. Now, one of you guys mentioned earlier, what world are we living in that Gunther is getting another title shot? Well, what world are we living in that AJ Styles versus Finn Balor match was so uninteresting to me tonight? Normally, this match, because of the history of these two, the chemistry of these two, I thought for sure, you know, the match was going to be amazing, and it wasn't a terrible match, but under these circumstances, I don't know, it was just it wasn't that great to me. Like, basically, we got this match because AJ Styles has been sending Dominic some threats, some signals, like, hey, I'm coming for the title. I'm coming for the title. And Dom said, hey, Finn, you got history with AJ Styles. Why don't you take care of him? And that's how we got this match. And I did not really care too much for it. And to make matters worse, Finn Balor lost again. AJ Styles is closer to facing Dom for the Intercontinental Championship, it seems like. But how many matches has Finn Balor lost in, like, I don't know, the past year? It seems like he's losing a shit ton of matches. Dom is now looking more like the leader because he is the Intercontinental Champion of the Judgment Day. And Finn Balor, who's like one of the veterans in the group other than Carlito, he's now seems like the jobber of the Judgment Day. I mean, it was a good match. It was cool to see Finn and AJ Styles in the ring again. But I just would like to see, I don't know, maybe Carlito wrestle. Or, hey, even JD Madonna, he just came back. But, no, let's, you know, let's do AJ versus Finn. And let's beat Finn again. I don't know if this adds anything more to the story that they're trying to tell. But what did you guys think about this match, BT? I think you're up first.
Mate. Snug, my mate. Finn Balor. That cunt's been losing more matches than fucking Sonic the Hedgehog bumps into a spike and loses his Sonic rings. He has lost at least millions of matches at this point. He's been losing them since fucking 2023, brother. He's been losing them for at least over 2 years now. Ever since he joined the Judgment Day, he's been losing fucking matches. Like, there has been... We call him Pin Balor now. We call him Pin Balor because he cannot win for shit. There were people that were going for him at WrestleMania, and I felt sorry for them because I knew there was going to be some fuckery, and I knew there was going to be some Dominic Mysterio bullshit that was going to happen. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see it. I'm at the point where I want to see Finn lose now, especially when it comes to bullshit like this. I'm not bullshitting you. I wanted to see Finn Balor lose. I wanted Dominic to win so badly, and I was laughing my ass off when it... You're absolutely right. Finn Balor is at the point where you put him in a match, and he's basically a jobber. That's basically the point that he's at right now. And I'm hoping that when Dominic turns on Finn, or whether Finn turns on Dominic, that they start taking this motherfucker seriously. Like, you got to put some more respect on Finn Balor, because this is the same guy that became the first ever Universal Champion with a busted shoulder and had to give it up the next day. That's the same guy that you put into a group and turned into a jobber. And I get it, the story purposes. But still, he's one of your top stars. And Finn Balor, he's like in his 40s, and he's still moving like he's in his late 20s. Like, that motherfucker can go in the ring. He's basically the Irish version of Rey Mysterio, except Rey Mysterio is a luchador. That's basically the main difference. But overall, the match against AJ Styles, call me a sucker, but I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it, especially when Penta interfered. Especially when he interfered. Fucking JD McDonald's, though. He makes me laugh every time. When there was this one point when Finn Balor was getting dragged out into the ring and AJ Styles was celebrating. It was just before it cut to commercial. You hear JD say, I think it was something like, that was disrespectful or something like that. Like, he always has a tendency to say something stupid. And it takes me back to the Survivor Series 2023 when Adam Pearce said, we're going to have this match at War Games. And JD had the audacity to say, you can't do that. You can't do that. I'm like, who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you to say that? But I enjoyed that match. I enjoyed it for what it was. And AJ Styles got the win that he deserved. But yeah, against Finn, of all people, yeah, we got it. Justice for Finn Balor. Justice for Finn Balor, bro. He deserves better.
Yeah, I got to say, you said it before I could again. That's the second time in a row, BT. You took the words out of my mouth.
Hey, I'm on a fucking roll tonight, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. You're beating me to the punch. Finn Balor is your first ever inaugural Universal Champion, which, by the way, became the WWE Undisputed Championship, the title that is the title of titles. So for me, and you guys know me, I've always been a sucker for technical wrestling. I love technical wrestling, mat style wrestling. It's my favorite kind. A lot of people find it boring in today's day and age because we're so accustomed to, as Undertaker likes to coin so endearingly, flippy doos. And we're so accustomed to high spots and, you know, crazy hard-hitting, you know, sequences. The shit that AEW calls a wrestling match. And for me, a real wrestling match is this. Mat style technical wrestling. Limb targeting, reversals, one-upping each other, chin locks, takedowns, you know, everything from it, arm drags, like everything. Real wrestling, what wrestling originally was in the Silver Age and the Golden Age, that all these legends that we know today, they're in the Hall of Fame, were famous for. Triple H, one of the most famous technical wrestlers of all time. Ric Flair, in my opinion, the greatest technical wrestler of all time, next to Shawn fucking Michaels. When I think of real mat-style wrestling, that's the shit that Ilya is great at, that Gunther has perfected. You know, so when I sit down and watch this match, I looked at my wife and said, this is going to be a great one. And by the end of it, they were doing This Is Awesome Chance. These are two former, or I guess if it's never technically ended, these are two Bullet Club members. You know, people forget Cody Rhodes, Bullet Club member as well, which was the whole precipice of the beginning of his rivalry with AJ just last year. So, you know, too sweet. You know, so as far as I'm concerned, when I think about a match that is made for me, myself personally as a viewer, that's made for me, it is this type of match. A slow burn, let's size each other up, jock for position, as we say, and let's try to one-up each other in the ring. It's the kind of wrestling that impresses a real, real wrestling fan base. Because you want to see who's better. That, in my opinion, is why Charlotte Flair took off the way she did. Charlotte Flair is the best technical wrestler on their roster, on their female roster. Charlotte Flair, there is not a better technical wrestler than Charlotte Flair on their roster, period. She's better than Natalya. And Natalya was the best technical wrestler on their roster for females. And if you remember, the first ever match Charlotte had was against Natalya in NXT, right? With her dad in her corner and Bret Hart in Natalya's corner. And they had a hell of a technical match. Bayley, phenomenal technical wrestler. This type of wrestling is boring to people who are so used to fast-paced, suicide dive, plancha, you know, freaking, you know, sunset flip, power bomb. Like, you're used to all that crazy stuntman shit. This type of match is built for the fan that is like, I want to sit down and watch some old school wrestling. Not wrestling, wrestling. Southern style wrestling. This is what these guys made their names on. And it was great. They, and again, these are two men in their mid to late 40s. AJ Styles is like 48 years old, bro. Finn Balor's 45. And these guys went out there, and I'm sure Triple H said, look, we don't have any other matches up for tonight. You got 20 minutes. Go out there and do it. Don't worry about any notes. You got 20 minutes. Go just do your thing. And these guys said, well, if we got to kill 20 minutes, let's kill 20 minutes. And it was exciting to me. Every time they reversed, I was like, oh, who's going to get the upper hand? I'm on the edge of my seat for that type of wrestling. I'm like, who's gonna get the upper hand? Who's gonna get the first chin lock? Who's gonna reverse? Who's gonna sweep into the first pin? That's what wrestling is supposed to be. So for me, this was the best match of the night for a wrestling fan like me, because it was the best in-ring worked match, because it was intelligently worked. These are ring generals, these two. And it sucks that Finn has to be on a losing streak. And it is for story purposes, because it always serves that no matter how hard Finn tries to fight to get to Judgment Day ahead, something always gets in the way. Someone always gets in his way. He is the best wrestler on the Judgment Day. And Snug, I got to disagree with you. I do not need to see Carlito wrestle. He is not the wrestler he was the first run he was here. Or even the second one when he was working with Primo and Epico. Okay? He hasn't been, in my opinion, a great wrestler since like 2008. And honestly, it sucks that he's in the Judgment Day and you got someone like JD, the disciple, directly trained by Finn Balor, right? Those two are the best wrestlers in the Judgment Day. If you want to go pound for pound, those two, brick and mortar, are insanely talented in-ring generals. But they've got to eat and lose. In my opinion, I thought it's crazy that the Judgment Day is on the losing streak that they've always been on. Triple H, or Finn Balor, is a Triple H guy. I thought he would have booked this man to the moon by now. But for story purposes, we are where we are. It sucks, but eventually it's going to pay off, and Finn's going to get his due. And I'm telling you, he's yanking that IC title off of Dom. He's yanking it off of him. And cool, it's AJ? Not going to be pretty, and it's going to destroy the Judgment Day when he does it.
Who, AJ, or who?
Finn is going to rip that title off. There's no way they let AJ beat Dom for that title when Finn's right there. And if they do, in my opinion, I think it'd be a stupid decision. You need the Judgment Day implosion to come at the highest cost to the Judgment Day. And it would be the implosion over friends, supposed to be family, fighting over that belt. Because it's all fun and games until someone wants another notch in their career. So if you have AJ beat Dom for it, kind of pulls the wind out of the sails. The bigger match is Finn versus Dom for the IC title. Or
another maybe, triple threat match.
No, maybe Finn wins. Maybe Finn wins the Money in the Bank. And instead of cashing it on the main title, he cashes it on Dom.
Yeah, we'll see.
To me, the match was very, it was good in some parts, but it was also kind of just boring because I feel like we've seen this before a lot. I don't know why. I don't think we have seen it before. Correct me if I'm wrong, Blood.
What, Finn and AJ Styles have wrestled in WWE a few years ago.
Yeah, okay. it's been years since those guys have been in the ring together.
Okay, well, I just feel like we've seen this match a lot. Not just between them, but the matches that they're not in together, I feel like it's the same. So, like, let's say AJ was going against someone else. I see a lot of what I saw tonight. Finn against someone. I see a lot of what I saw tonight. It's weird about them too, but their matches are very mid to me. I don't know why. I don't know what about it. They're just mid. All the other outside interference thought was perfect. Next week we're getting AJ and Penta versus JD and Finn. I think that's going to spice it up a little bit. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
There is one phrase from the past that I kept going back to the entire time that you three were talking. That Finn used to say for a bit throughout the entirety of the Judgment Day. When you listen to Finn, you win. I'm sorry, dude. You've been on a damn losing streak for months now. That entire phrase is hypocritical on your end. Because you're over here saying when the rest of them listen to you, they will win, but yet you can't even win yourself. Like, whatsoever. And I do find it interesting, since we talked about Dom a little bit into this too, the one question before this match started that I would also keep going back to that I find very interesting. Where was Dom? Where was Dom? That was the biggest question that Michael Cole kept asking them during their entrance. Where's Dom? It was JD and Carlito that were ringside. Dom was nowhere to be seen. Was he possibly still pissed about that backstage from earlier in the show when Dom brought up the fact that he hesitated a bit with the chair?
Yeah, that's probably going to go into play next week, like Finn's argument. You know, where the fuck were you, Dom? You're supposed to have my back, Dom. You weren't there for me, Dom.
The match itself, though, it's like on paper, it's a fantastic match. It's a dream match. But the execution tonight, man, the women's tag match was better than this, and that in itself wasn't even that good. That's my final thoughts on that. The fact that the women's tag match, the main event, in itself, wasn't that good either, and it still was better than this match. Blood, maybe not to you, but to me...
The main event was filled with so many timing issues. Finn and AJ wrestled a perfect match. Io and Rhea were fighting to get Roxanne and Julia on the same page with them because they kept fucking up their timing and their spots. The whole main event was a botch fest.
I think what Tommy's referring to is just the buildup in general. The buildup to the main event was just better to this match with AJ Styles versus Finn Balor, which is a big reason why I wasn't that excited for it either. I think that's what Tommy's referring to.
Yeah, that is exactly what I'm referring to.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. In ring, hell no. But fair enough.
BT, really quick before we got to get up out of here soon. Go ahead.
I think I figured out one of the reasons why Dominic wasn't ringside with JD and Carlito for Finn's match. I think it's because the motherfucker's still sour about the fact that he doesn't understand time zones.
The fact that JD brought that up, like, dude, is this the first time you've heard of time zones?
I got a better theory for you. Guess who else wasn't out there?
Raquel wasn't even in the building.
Oh yeah, Raquel.
Raquel was there earlier in the night. She walked in with them.
She was in the building.
They opened the show. My question is, what if Dom and Raquel? What if Dom's cheating on Liv with Raquel?
Damn.
Rhea 3.0? Seriously?
Dom's playing game.
Look, the Judgment Day's been going for nearly 4 years now, and there's one thing we know. They're family, and they can't trust each other as far as they can throw each other. How many breakups, split-ups, and screw-overs has that group had in 4 years? Okay? As far as I'm concerned, it's not too far of a stretch to think that, you know, maybe Dom thinks that he misses Rhea, and because he can't find a mommy in Rhea, he finds a mommy in Raquel, a real mommy. So maybe Liv just doesn't do it for him anymore. Maybe she's off getting famous and she's leaving him behind. And he wants to split himself, because we keep seeing Carlito keep trying to flirt with Raquel, but it's going nowhere. But she keeps paying back attention to Dom. So in my opinion, what if the implosion, remember, we thought the Judgment Day was going to break off into factions, remember? It was going to split. Heel and face dynamic. I don't know, Dom's getting cheered like a baby face. Raquel doesn't get booed nearly as much as Liv does. JD's kind of an unsung hero for being a tough motherfucker. So what if the Judgment Day splits down the middle? Carlito, Finn, and Liv, Raquel, Dom, and JD.
We do not need the same breakup situation as SummerSlam with Rhea.
I just find it funny because all this talk about, well, where's Dom? Where's Raquel?
All I know is that Carlito would be so heartbroken. But hey, I mean, he's like, it's very possible.
I don't know how he's heartbroken. He's making the easiest paycheck out of any of them. The man doesn't wrestle shit and he's on a full contract. So if anything, if I'm Carlito, I'm having the greatest time of my life. I get to travel all over the world, but I don't got to drop on my back every freaking night. You kidding me?
He's Carlito is literally getting paid just to say the words, "Now that's cool."
The man is literally R-Truth. Doesn't wrestle ever and has a guaranteed contract.
Which is another reason why I would have liked to see him wrestle a little bit more. Like, he's getting paid so much money to fucking just do backstage segments. That's crazy to me.
In my opinion, they could have honestly just released him with the last batch. But
the issue is Carlito himself in an interview with Chris Van Vliet has full blown said he cannot do the same shit that he used to do.
Which begs the question, why did they ever rehire him in the first place if he was so limited?
I mean, it's obvious that he can't do the same stuff he did before, but that doesn't mean he can't do anything.
Well, then book him in more than 5 matches a year.
I would. But anyway.
The last couple matches we watched him wrestle this year, it was the shits.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, y'all. Well, that was a way longer Raw review than I expected tonight, since we only talked about a few things. But let us know what you guys think. What?
You don't want to talk about your favorite person, Becky?
Yeah, sure. She's insufferable as fuck. What else is there to say?
Fuck Becky.
She's terrible. But anyway,
her fucking John Cena-esque promo pissed me off so much, bro.
I can narrow that entire segment down to 2 words: fuck Becky. Okay. That's it.
Exactly.
I can narrow it down to a few words too. Until next time, you guys. Thanks to everybody that was hanging out and for commenting and liking and sharing and all that good stuff. Until next time, my name is Edgar. I'm the host. Thanks, Blood. Thanks, Toxic. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, BT Knight. We'll see you guys. No yeet. Let's go. Bye.
Four letters.
Gunther's the greatest of all time.
No,
get out.
I didn't get that in there.